That whistle is your invitation to listen to the Household Finance Corporation program, The Whistler.
And I know many things, for I walk by night. I know many strange tales hidden in the hearts of men and women who have stepped into the shadows. Yes, I know the nameless terrors of which they dare not speak.
Yes, it's time again for The Whistler, brought to you by the 423 branch offices of Household Finance Corporation throughout the United States and Canada. You know, friends, at some time or other, almost everybody is faced with a money problem. Perhaps many of you listening right now need some extra cash to meet an emergency, to pay overdue bills, or for any worthwhile purpose. Well, no matter who you are, what your job, or where you live, HFC, Household Finance Corporation, can provide you with the money you need when you need it. And now, The Whistler's strange story, Death and the Emperor.
Timothy Murdoch was in excellent spirits. As he stepped into his car for the drive down to New Jersey, he was whistling and happy, glowing at the prospect of the deal he was about to consummate in favor of Splendid Emperor Pet Food. Splendid Emperor. There was magic in the name, selling magic. And there was good reason. Only a few days before, the National Cat Show, mecca of the nation's thoroughbred cat fanciers, had reached its moment of climax. Champions in every class had been awarded their blue ribbons. And now the crowd of trainers, owners, and spectators awaited the most important decision of all.
Ladies and gentlemen, your attention, please. The judges have conferred, and their choice of grand champion of the show will be announced in a moment.
Grand champion, a coveted title. But to Edith Elsmer, standing close to the cage of a huge white Persian, with eyes as clear and blue as chunks of frozen sky, there was little doubt as to which animal would win. Edith was proud of Splendid Emperor, thrilled at the thought of her own tireless contributions to his success. But Edith Elsmer was also bitter, hurt and angry as she listened to those familiar words tumbling from the loudspeaker.
By unanimous decision of the judges, the grand championship is awarded for the fourth consecutive year to Splendid Emperor, white male Persian, owned and bred by Mrs. Margaret Cole of Meadow Hill, New Jersey.
Thank you very much. Very kind of you, I'm sure. Oh. Well, Edith, I've won it again.
Congratulations, Mrs. Cole.
I must say I'm not at all surprised by the judge's decision. It's no more than I expected. What's the matter, my dear? You don't seem very pleased.
Of course I'm pleased, Mrs. Cole. I'm
delighted. Mrs. Cole, let me congratulate you. Four times winner of the Grand Championship. Why, it's never been duplicated in the history of the Association.
Oh, thank you.
Take skill, Mrs. Cole. More than that, the breeding of fine cats requires true artistry. And to win four Grand Championships, well, that takes genius.
Here now, you make me conceited, Mr.
Murdoch.
Mr. Murdoch.
Timothy Murdoch, president of Murdoch's Processed Foods. If you can spare it, Mrs. Cole, I'd like a few minutes of your time on a matter of business.
Business with me?
Indeed. I have a proposition that should be profitable for both of us. You see, my firm is launching a new brand of prepared pet food.
Oh?
We need a name for our product. A magic name, like Splendid Emperor.
You mean you'd like to call your product Splendid Emperor?
Exactly. And we're prepared to pay you well for the privilege. Say, $5,000 a year?
Well, $5,000?
And furthermore, we'd like to put out a pamphlet on the breeding and grooming of fine cats. If you would write the booklet for us, perhaps for another $2,000?
Well,
I hope that you're interested in this proposition, Mrs. Cole. If there's anything...
Interested?
That...
Oh, yes, indeed.
Fine, fine. I'll have my lawyers draw up the necessary contracts. Nice to talk to you, Mrs. Cole. You'll hear from me soon. Good day.
Good day, Mr. Murdoch. Edith, did you hear what he said? $5,000 a year for the use of the Emperor's name.
Yes, Mrs. Cole.
I heard.
And the booklet, with me as the author. The Care and Breeding of Thoroughbred Cats by Mrs. Margaret Cole. Why, I'll be famous, Edith. Famous.
Really, no more than you deserve. Is it, Mrs. Cole?
You couldn't resist saying that, could you, Edith? Because in spite of the praise and attention showered on your employer, you know that without your efforts, the Emperor would not have been 4 times champion. And that's why your feelings flare into the open that evening as the long black sedan takes you and Mrs. Cole home to New Jersey, to the sprawling green acres and the white picket fences of Meadow Hill Estate.
Edith, I've been thinking about that booklet Mr. Murdoch wants me to write.
Yes?
It's a wonderful opportunity to set my theories down on paper. And I could write it easily enough, but, well, it would be such a bother, and I thought...
And so you want me to write it for you, Mrs. Cole?
Now, that's exactly what I had in mind, my dear. It would only take you a day or two. And...
If I do write it, will my name appear as the author?
Why, Edith.
Well, then, co-author.
My dear girl, you surprise me. I'm pained by your ingratitude.
I don't see what I have to be grateful about. And I don't see why you should bring that up at all.
You don't? I've told you again and again that when I die, you shall inherit the houses, the cats, and almost everything that I own. That's why I'm hurt, Edith. To think that you should react like this when I ask a small favor.
Oh, all right. If you insist on having me write the booklet, I'll do it.
I don't insist on anything. Never mind, Edith. I'll write it myself. And I dare say I'll do a better job of it than you might, my dear. After all, the Emperor is my cat.
Well, Edith, a dozen angry answers to Mrs. Cole are racing through your brain, but suddenly you realize you can't afford a real breach with Mrs. Cole. That all your work, all your subservience has been directed to one end. Someday you'll be mistress of Meadow Hill and all it stands for. And for that, you'll accept almost anything. So, when you arrive at Meadow Hill, you go about your accustomed duties. But when it's time to bed Splendid Emperor down for the night, the great white Persian has disappeared. You search frantically and then hurry to the little cottage, occupied by Martin Hawthorne, the caretaker.
Martin, open up.
Just a minute. Well, Miss Edith, come down to see if I'm comfortable in my little abode?
Certainly not. The Emperor's missing. I wondered if you'd seen him.
Oh. I'm still playing second fiddle to that cat, huh?
I asked if you'd seen him, Martin. That's all.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I guess it is. Why don't you try looking in the kitchen?
The kitchen?
I saw him there a few minutes ago. Why are you unpacking the car?
Why didn't you say so in the first place?
I guess I was thinking of something else.
Don't be insolent, Martin.
All right, okay. But down at the bottom of that heart of yours, you know you love it.
You turn from him, rush back to the main house and into the kitchen. You stop short as you see the Splendid Emperor. You're startled at where he's standing.
Emperor, come down from there. Come down off the stove. Do you hear? Get off there. Come here.
And suddenly your pent-up frustration bursts forth again. You step toward him, slap out at him.
Mrs. Cole.
Are you out of your mind?
I didn't see you standing.
You see me indeed. How dare you, Edith? How dare you slap the Emperor?
I'm sorry, Mrs. Cole. I lost my...
And your temper. This is the end of it, Edith. The end. I will not permit my cats to be mishandled. You can pack your things in the morning.
What do you mean?
Simply that I no longer want you in my employ.
You're discharging me?
Exactly.
But you can't do that.
No.
After all the years I've worked for you, it's not fair.
I'll be the judge of that.
No. You can't rule my life like I'm a puppet on a string. You haven't any right.
I'm not asking to rule you, Edith. I told you that you're free to go.
Please, Mrs. Cole. I'm sorry. I don't know what's wrong.
You've been acting badly. You do know that.
Yes, perhaps it's because of the strain I've been under, getting the Emperor groomed for the show and all.
You groomed the Emperor?
Well,
I like that.
Well, I didn't mean it that way, Mrs. Cole. Of course, you did most of the work.
Nerves, my dear, are a luxury one cannot afford when dealing with thoroughbred cats. Go on now. Take the Emperor and handle him gently. He means more to me than...
I understand, Mrs. Cole.
It was a frightening moment, wasn't it, Edith? And as you go back to your room, you hope that it's really over, that Mrs. Cole realizes her inadequacy. No, you must remain at Meadow Hill if her book that is to be written. The next day, you start out of the house to attend to the morning feeding. Mrs. Cole's voice reaches you as you pass the study, stops you in the hall.
Hello? Universal Employment Agency? This is Mrs. Margaret Cole of Meadow Hill, New Jersey. Yes, I want to hire someone who's experienced in the care and breeding of Persian cats. Persian? Yes, that's right. I'll need someone with considerable knowledge of the subject. I may need help in preparing a booklet. Yes. Yes, the first of the month will be time enough. If you'll just call me before you...
You walk on, almost unable to think. In the shed where the stores are kept, you sort the cat food mechanically, moving about in a day's routine. So it was only a reprieve, Edith. The first of the month is just 2 weeks away, and then you're through. That is, unless you can think of some way to prevent Mrs. Cole from dismissing you, killing outright your dream of one day becoming mistress of Meadow Hill Estate. There has to be a way, Edith, some way.
What is it, Edith?
Martin.
Oh, now, don't turn away. What were you staring at there on the shelf? Was it the rat poison?
You shouldn't come sneaking up behind a person without...
I didn't want to interrupt your thoughts, but... You know, you're a fascinating woman, Edith. I've always thought that behind that sober face, there lurked a Mata Hari.
Martin, someday you'll go too far.
Perhaps. But you know, Edith, somehow, watching you just now, I couldn't help thinking that in a pinch, you'd go even farther than I would.
You have just heard the prologue of Death and the Emperor, another strange tale by The Whistler, brought to you by the Household Finance Corporation. There comes a time in everyone's life. Familiar words, aren't they? Yes, friends, and there comes a time in almost everyone's life when extra money is needed. Money to meet a sudden emergency. Money to pay overdue bills, doctor or dentist bills, unusual seasonal expenses. And there's always the tax bill. Well, I would like to suggest a simple solution to your money problem. HFC, Household Finance Corporation. Household Finance and its 423 branch offices... There's one conveniently located near your home, is in the business of providing the extra money you need when you need it. At Household Finance, you may borrow the money you need and select the payment plan that suits you best. Service at Household is prompt and courteous. And remember,
HFC means Household Finance Corporation. Money when you need it.
And now, back to... The Whistler.
So now you know what you're going to do with it. You weren't sure of yourself when you heard Mrs. Cole calling the employment agency, hiring someone else. But in that instant in the storage shed, when Martin caught you staring at the rat poison, your mind was really made up, wasn't it? You had decided to murder Mrs. Cole. You've already dismissed the poison idea. That would be too cruel. And it might bring on suspicion by Martin. You'll have to find another way. Strangely enough, it's Mrs. Cole herself who provides the solution.
Edith, Aren't you watching the Emperor? Look at him.
What? Oh, he's up on the stove again.
Well, what's got into him? What does he do that for?
It's a habit he's formed lately.
I don't like it. It's dangerous.
Dangerous?
Certainly. Jumping up there, he could turn on the gas jets accidentally. Asphyxiated.
Oh, no.
My dear girl, don't argue with me. Why, with the back stairs leading right up to the bedrooms, it's quite possible.
At that moment, the plan began to take shape in your mind. But there was something you had to know. What attracted Splendid Emperor to the gas stove? It's after Mrs. Cole leaves the room and you start to lift the big cat down that you make a discovery.
Come on now. Down, Empress. What are you after up here, anyway? You'd think... Why, the catnip bag. I hung it back there myself. So that's it.
Yes, Edith. The catnip bag. Hanging half-concealed on a nail in back of the stove. That's what does it. But now there should be someone else who knows of the big cat's odd habits. It's a simple matter for you to get Martin into the kitchen. He hurries across the garden the moment you call.
Yeah, I'm afraid you're suffering from loneliness.
No, from annoyance. Look at the Emperor up there on the stove.
What about
it? He keeps jumping up there, Martin. It worries me.
He's a sensitive character. He won't get burned.
I don't mean that. Those gas jet handles, they turn so easily. Supposing he jumps up there someday and asphyxiates us.
Well, you're dead too, son, kind of easy. You're right, my love. There's danger there. Somebody might sleep the deep sleep.
Oh, it's no joking matter. I want you to tighten those handles, Martin.
Oh, sure. You know, Edith, it'd be kind of cozy, two of us working around this kitchen here.
Martin, I...
Well, I do believe my charms begin to have an effect on you.
Your charms, as you prefer to call them, Martin, have nothing to do with it. I was merely trying to say that I don't want you around while I'm getting dinner. You can attend to the jet handles first thing in the morning.
That glib tongue of Martin's has a way of upsetting you, hasn't it, Edith? But you were careful to use just the right tone of reproach. And now you have your witness and you're ready for the final move. That comes very late after you've all retired. Mrs. Cole is sleeping soundly when you steal into her bedroom and close the window very softly. Then you go down to the kitchen, turn the handles of two of the gas jets. You wait on the stairs until the house begins to reek with fumes, listening for a sound of stirring upstairs or for footsteps approaching the house, hearing only the furious beating of your own pulses. Once you nearly lose your courage and a warning scream forms on your lips. But you fight it back, and instead you scoop up Splendid Emperor and go outside. It's hours later when you run stumbling to Martin Hawthorne's cottage.
Martin, open the door. Huh? Oh, Martin, hurry, try to save her.
What's wrong, Edith? What's happened?
Still in the house. I couldn't wake her. Martin, the gas. The Emperor turned on the gas.
Miss Elsmer, I know from what Mr. Hawthorne here has told me that you've been terribly shocked by what happened last night. There are some questions I'd like answered.
Whatever you want, dear. Poor Mrs. Colt. She was so kind. So good.
About the windows, was Mrs. Cole in the habit of sleeping with them closed?
Not usually, but the night was chilly.
Yeah, it wasn't bad. Now, you say the cat was in the habit of jumping up on the gas stove?
That's right.
That's mighty peculiar.
Sheriff, I don't know why the cat liked to get up here, but he did. Martin noticed it, too.
That's right, Sheriff. Miss Edith called my attention to it. She said she thought it was dangerous, that the jets ought to be tightened. I shouldn't have put it off again.
Yeah. Well, that ought to do for now. Thanks very much.
You accompany the sheriff to the door. Thank him for being so considerate, and for the first time, you're able to get control of your nerves. But late that afternoon, the sheriff returns, and your pulses leap again to the knowledge that something's wrong. And as he brings you and Martin in the study, you clutch your hands together, afraid their trembling might betray you.
All right, sit down, both of you. Might as well tell you I'm convinced something's wrong with this whole setup, and I intend to get to the bottom of it.
Well, what do you mean, Sheriff?
I've been doing some work around town, Miss Elsmer. Had a talk with Mr. Ives, the lawyer for Mrs. Cole's estate.
Yes?
He told me the terms of her will. You inherit practically everything. You knew that, of course.
Of course, I've been a very faithful assistant to Mrs. Cole for years.
Yeah, but that was all over.
I don't know what you mean by that.
I mean, I checked on the phone calls out of here. Mrs. Cole called the Universal Employment Agency yesterday. The man at the agency says she wanted to hire someone to replace you. You knew that. You knew it meant the will would be changed.
No, I...
Oh, wait a minute, Sheriff.
I'll get to you in a minute.
You'll get to me now. I resent the insinuations you're making about Miss Elsmer, but that's beside the point. The point is that this was accidental death. Every evidence points to the fact that the cat turned on those jets.
I have Miss Elsmer's testimony for that.
Miss Elsmer's, yes, and mine.
I was waiting for that. Point number three that I learned in my investigation in town. At least a dozen people told me that you, Martin, and Edith here are in love with each other.
That isn't true. That's the most outrageous lie. Martin, tell him.
I see. All right, Sheriff. It's true. I am in love with Edith Elsmer. The feeling's all mine. Edith has never, even a word or a glance, given me the slightest encouragement. You're trying to prove there's conspiracy.
I'm trying to get to the bottom of what I think was a murder in cold blood.
I won't listen to this. I won't stay here. Sheriff, wait. You're saying you don't believe that Splendid Emperor got up on that stove. Is that it?
Yes, that's exactly it.
I see. Well, in that case, I'll ask you to step over here, Sheriff. Look through the kitchen door.
Well, I'll be hanged.
The cat is on...
Yes, Splendid Emperor. Up on the stove, Sheriff. Now, do you want to make any more insinuations?
No, I owe you an apology, Miss Elsmer. And I give it gladly. It seemed like such a fool thing for a cat to do.
Your own eyes, Sheriff.
Yeah, my own eyes. I'll be testifying at the inquest, Miss Elsmer. I'll tell him, of course, that it was an accident. No hard feelings.
No, sir. No hard feelings.
So a fortune at last played it your way. By the chance jump of a cat, you've traded disaster for everything you've always wanted. Meadow Hill, Splendid Emperor, perhaps even Martin. When Mr. Murdoch phones later in the day to announce that the contracts are ready for Mrs. Cole's signature, you tell him the bad news.
Yes, Mr. Murdoch. And so now I own Splendid Emperor.
I see. Of course, Miss Elsmer, I'm as shocked as you are about Mrs. Cole's death. However, I'm prepared to offer you the same proposition we made Mrs. Cole. $5,000 a year for the name, $2,000 more to write that booklet.
I think your offer is very fair, Mr. Murdoch. And I accept.
Good, good.
I particularly want to write that booklet for you.
Fine, Miss Elsmer. I was wondering, would it be too soon if I drove down with the contracts in the morning?
No. That'll be all right, Mr. Murdoch. You may come ahead.
Thank you very much. I'll see you there. Goodbye, Miss Elsmer.
Goodbye, Mr. Murdoch. Oh, come up here, Emperor. Splendid Emperor. Up in my lap. Oh, there's a lot ahead for us, Emperor. For you and me.
The Whistler will return in just a moment with a strange ending to tonight's story. Now, we'd like to introduce a gentleman standing by in your community to speak on behalf of your own household finance representative.
Oh.
back to the Whistler.
Timothy Murdoch was a very happy man as he turned into Meadowhill Estate. He was pleased at the arrangements he was about to complete with Edith Elsner. She had sounded so cooperative over the phone, so willing to accept the same terms he'd agreed upon with Mrs. Cole for the use of the name Splendid Emperor on Mr. Murdoch's passport. As he left the car and stepped up onto the porch, Mr. Murdoch allowed his shoulders to sag slightly. He removed his hat, assumed a solemn air in deference to the late Mrs. Cole. Then, as he reached to press the door buzzer...
Hey, huh? Won't do you any good to ring, mister.
Why, I don't understand. I'm calling on Miss Elsmer. I have an appointment.
I'm afraid Miss Elsmer won't be keeping any appointments. Apparently you haven't heard what's happened here.
Oh, yes, I have. Terrible tragedy, terrible. Poor Mrs. Cole.
I'm not talking about Mrs. Cole. It's Miss Elsmer that's the real tragedy.
Miss Elsmer?
Yes. She died practically the same way.
What?
Fell asleep in a chair. Cat jumped up on the stove. We found out he was after a catnip bag someone forgot and left hanging there.
What? Then Miss Elsmer is...
Yeah. Gone. Cat, too. That cat was an emperor, all right. But it seems his kingdom was death.
Let that whistle be your invitation to listen to the Household Finance Corporation program, The Whistler, each week over these stations. This is Ken Niles speaking for HFC, the Household Finance Corporation, and reminding you, never borrow unless you must. But if you have to borrow, do it the right way at HFC, Household Finance Corporation. Featured in tonight's story were Mary Lansing and Martha Wentworth. The Whistler is produced by George W. Allen, with story by Michael Sklar, music by Wilbur Hatch, and was transmitted to our troops overseas by the Armed Forces Radio Service. Home accidents can be prevented by eliminating physical hazards such as inadequate lighting, cluttered rooms, dangerous stairways, and so forth. Protect your family. Remember, accidents don't always happen to the other person. The Whistler is heard in Canada over the facilities of the Dominion Network of the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.